It is considered the model prayer that Jesus put forth for us. And I think at certain times it just makes sense. We say these things so often, in repetition, but there's so much inside just a simple passage. And that's this morning. The title of the sermon is Be the Church, the Salt of the Earth. So let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven is the traditional. And many of you have heard, I've heard it all of my Baptist life. Be in the earth, but don't be of the earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever thought about that passage passionately? What it really means? It's the politics of Jesus. The politics of Jesus can be summed up as the church doing God's will. That's my opinion. You may have another. If you Google politics of Jesus, you will get multitudes of responses. You'll get books that have been written, articles that have been written. But one thing's for certain, you'll never get anything more clear than what you have just read in the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. Think about that. There's a part of this in my heart when I think about those red letters. And I don't know about you guys, but when I see the red letters, it immediately lets me know this is what came out of Christ's mouth. On earth as it is in heaven. To me, we could possibly say, I've written down some notes. Therefore, can we say, there are a couple of questions. Can we say that it is not the responsibility of Christians or our politics to take over society or impose our convictions and values on people who do not share our faith, but simply to be the church? Is it not also true that our charity, our love at the center of our heart, the number one reason and cause for people that come to this church that do not belong to this congregation of Christians, repetitively say, I feel the presence of love when I walk into these walls? And of course, it's not the walls, it's not the wood, it's the people, it's the hearts of the people. It is true that our charity will do the hard work of salvation by our deeds done in Christian love one to another. You may or may not agree with some of these statements because it's not usual. It's an unusual thing for people to feel or understand politics. The minute you say that word, the first thing you see or you hear in your mind is what's going on in the hustle and bustle around Washington, D.C. or wherever else, whether it's politics of the job, politics of the office, politics of a family, politics that happen when you go on vacation. That's truly not where I'm wanting you to think. I want you to think about the church, what it means. When Christ said, that we should be the example here, that whatever we do here would be in line with God's will. There's the focus. And after all, politics is just a system not of governing. It's how something is accomplished. It's a pattern for working out something. So God has got a pattern for us already worked out. And the way we communicate is through our hearts, through the Spirit. If you put salt on something, what happens? There have been many a meal created out in the West Mountains, owned by the woods, those woods out there in the woods, by the woods, where salt is placed on, I don't know, greens of all kinds, and immediately something happens. The salt disappears, but the taste lingers, and it's good and pleasing to us, to the point, right? We use it, we taste it, but we don't see it. That's what happens. My grandmother's kitchen, as many of yours, and certainly as Charlie's parents, Charlie's mom back in the mountains of, or to the west of us, that salt was put there to put a smile on people's faces. It's not seen, but it has such a pleasing, it's an addition that we just love. It's pleasing to taste. We are to be the salt of the earth, this congregation. We are the salt. We're what allows this earth, although we are unseen, to have a savory quality from our heart to the world's heart, whoever that would be. Amen? That's what we're called to do. If we are a church, the salt of this world, through the heart of charity, the church witnesses to a hurting world. Sometimes we might even use words, but mostly it's our charity deeds. A tear shared with someone. That may be the only witness we have with a non-Christian in this world. The charity of a tear shared when needed. In fact, with this world the way we have it, we are the alternative. The alternative to a world based on violence and evil. I'm going to read an insert here because I think it's very important. We always try to figure out, well, wait a second, where does the Bible stand on this? Satan is allowed to do things on this planet. Satan is also called the prince of power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. He is the ruler of this world in John 12:31. These titles, as many more, signify Satan's capabilities. To say, for example, that Satan is the prince of the power of the air is to signify that in some way he rules over the world and the people in it. This is not to say that he rules the world completely. God is still sovereign. God never steps off his throne. And he never stops loving and caring for his children, whoever they are, inside or outside this church. He is still sovereign, but it does mean that God, in his infinite wisdom, I like that, in his infinite wisdom, has allowed Satan to operate in this world within the boundaries God has set for him. When the Bible says Satan has power over the world, we must remember that God has given him domain over unbelievers. But believers are constantly challenged the same way that Jesus was challenged by Satan. He's always lurking in the dark, trying to steal us away. I just wanted to clear that up a little bit because a lot of people have come to me and say, I don't really understand, if we're saved, why has Satan got all this power? It's in God's infinite wisdom that he'll be allowed to do things because it causes us to be strengthened in the tests that God allows us to go through. Therefore, our alternative to this world has been made possible by life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Born in Bethlehem. As we approach this season, I always love this time of year. It's a time when candles mean more to me. I don't know how you all see it, but the Christmas music, it starts unlocking things in my heart. It starts putting this on vacation, and I start to feel warmth and desire to do things. What is that you see on people's cars? Random acts of kindness, just to do good things for people. Therefore, the church thus lives in conviction. If we are thusly salted correctly, correct? If that salt is there, it's in the right place, in the right amount, it has not lost its ability. We are the salt of the earth. To imitate the way of Christ in his absolute obedience, and this is the part that gets us most. If you study the word, it may also require even to death. But I've written another little note here. Even if it leads to our own death, we will be vindicated in resurrection as well. So everybody about now is probably saying, well, Rich, this is a real uplifting sermon coming into the Christmas season. On earth as it is in heaven, do you see yourself as a salt of the earth today? Do you feel that you were put here to make a difference in this world? That's the call today. This season's going to bring a lot of challenges for many people. Holly and I both found out that we've got some challenges. My son-in-law has received his pink slip, and so have I. But what makes us different? That the heavy heart doesn't show up. That the anxiety isn't overflowing from me. What makes the difference? It's never been about our jobs. My son-in-law will lose jobs and other jobs, and so will I. But it's never been about the jobs. It's always been about the work. So I tell my wife we love to off-road. Barbara and I truly love to off-road. Honey, this is our time of life when we get to practice and do a little off-roading. The freeway has been taken away from us. And I got excited this morning as I was prepping and finishing up and praying over this sermon this morning. And I said, Holly, it's amazing. I am excited. Because I've been feeling the doors, pressure on the doors, as you can hear them make noises, creaking, as you can almost feel the Holy Spirit opening a door, closing one and opening another. And I find myself not having time to be depressed because the significance of the work of being the salt of the earth. You have to ask yourself, are you covered in the blood of the Savior? As a child, I once cut my finger. I was a new Christian, and my grandmother wasted no time. I had just been baptized, 9 years old, and I came running to my grandmother and holding my hand, and I did what all kids do when it's bleeding. You're sucking on your finger and everything, doing all the things that my wife as a nurse would say, do not do. But as kids, I said something. As a child, you know, I asked her, why is it tasty? Why does it taste salty? And she said, you are designed magnificently and patterned after a Savior. I wrote this in my, I have a, the only diary I ever had. I started when I was 9 years old, and I got about 50 pages in it, but this is in that diary. I remember it. She said, you are magnificently designed and patterned after a Savior. And she said, it is salty because you have life in you. How true that is to this day, we all have blood in us, and it is salty. But I ask you, the life that you were looking for is that light that's inside your heart. So today, being covered in the blood of the Savior means that you have salt that the earth needs, souls that need to be reached, opportunities to do something for the Lord, be in God's will for His glory. To me, it's the first time in my life that I know that God is opening a door. I've always heard it, but I can feel it. It says the backdraft. It was so demonstrative as the door was opened. The backdraft. I could feel the wind go by my ears. Folks, it's always been about the Savior. And somewheres in the back of me, I've always harbored a little bit of me. It's always about me. But that backdraft caught my attention and put a smile on my face, because the backdraft came immediately upon something slamming behind me. That's simple. So I say the politics of Jesus. Boy, it goes on and on and on. Like I said, go Google it. It's real simple. It's Christ in me and God saying, son, I open you a door, one that you cannot fail to recognize. And I know you heard the one behind you close. But because it closed and that one opened, you know who did it. To me, there is this little town that I'm focused on right now in my heart, and that's where I want you to be. If we're to meet the challenges of the government must be on his shoulders. If we are to meet the challenges of our families, Christ must be centered in our heart. There is nothing more important than to stand for a Savior that crawled onto a tree for us. It was a wondrous night. Without that night in Bethlehem, where would we all be? Where God opened up a door and light and life shone through. There's the focus today. We're the salt given to the world by a caring Father. God's gift of salvation lying in a manger. I want you to listen to the first verse of this song. And then I want you in your heart to sing it first. And then join in. This is our gift to the glory of God for everything that He's done for us. And now's the season to acknowledge it to Him.
Sorry.